Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 213, the Back to School episode. It is Friday, August 25th, 2017, and I am looking forward. I'm looking forward to getting my life organized, or at the very least my sewing space organized. I am looking at it right now. This is, you know, it's not that it's like this humongous mess, but it's messy, and it's just in terms of feng shui, right? Yeah, I always get those messed up. Anyway, it's not good. You know, I think it's contributing an air of chaos to this little corner of what would be traditionally the dining room, right? The L of the front section, dining room. We don't need to go into floor plans here, but there's still the light fixture, the chandelier, which is kind of hangs over my treadmill desk, and everyone else. I'm the only one short enough to walk under it without bumping my head. Everyone else hits it. Sorry, guys. And one day I'm going to put something really cool and funky up there, but right now it's just the 1980s chandelier thingy. But yeah, so, but it's this time of year where I look at this space and go, I'm going to change it. I am going to revolutionize this space. Whether that'll happen or not, I don't know, but it's kind of bad. It contributes this. Yeah, I don't like it. I like order. It's too bad I'm so messy. It's like one of those contradictions. I like things. I like routines. I like order. And I wish I didn't spill so much down the front of my shirt. All right. So I've got some quilt diaries. The funny thing is there's a couple weeks between the first one and the second one. And it's possible that the second one is just a complete repeat of the first one because I have absolutely no idea what I talked about in the first one. None. I am actually looking forward to listening to this episode myself, because I'd like to know what I was thinking 2 or 3 weeks ago. This was before we dropped off at Jack at college. He is there. He seems to be very happy. He's got a nice roommate. His roommate is hilarious. His roommate cracks me up. I think they're going to be a good fit. I do. We will find out. Sometimes people seem like they're a good fit and they turn out not to be a good fit. And the interesting thing to me is I know his roommate's parents are a little worried about his roommate, John, not being all that social. So it's interesting to me that Jack may be the really social one in this partnership, and hopefully he'll get John to be more social as well. But I think for so long Jack wasn't social at all. He's actually the last few years has been really social, and the last few weeks before we went to school, like, we basically did not see him. He and his friends got together all the time just to hang out, and yeah, so anyway, so it is funny to think, oh, my child's the social one in this group. So anyway, but I feel like I just have a sense that they're going to get along. So yes, Jack has been dropped off. Will is back at school, starting high school. And yeah, I'm going to organize my sewing space and make everything in my life close to perfect. Not going to happen. I know, but it's fun. It's fun. Back to school. Happy New Year. Okay, then. I guess, since I have no idea what I've talked about in the quilt diary, well, I just recorded the second quilt diary, so I think I have a vague memory of that, but let's get on with the first one. Let's see what I had to say. Quilt diary, day one. It's Wednesday, August 2nd. We made it through July. We did. We made it. It's 2017. It's evening. I'm on the front porch. Not the back porch, because if I sit on the back porch, we just get the white noise of the AC. This way on the front porch, we get the magic noise of summer insects. It's really loud. It's really loud. It's always amazing when I record out here and then listen to it later. I'm like, good grief. I mean, it sounds like kind of like a horror movie in a way. And I feel like since I've just started talking, they're getting louder. One of the things in my summer survival kit this summer has been getting up earlier. Travis has helped me with that because he wants to get up earlier, and getting out in the early morning. And before breakfast, we go on our walk. And it's a really wonderful time to be out. And sitting out here now is also quite glorious. It's really just kind of those 12 hours in between that, well, You know, I don't complain about the weather. And the weather has actually not been bad. Like the last week, the humidity has been low. We've had a very dry summer, and you can see it in the lawns and the gardens. I live in this neighborhood that is really pretty. And what I like about it is it varies. There's a lot of variation. So this neighborhood was, the land originally belonged to Duke University. I live very close to Duke. And they kind of cleared lots of varying sizes, and they sold the lots to Duke faculty. So it was sort of like a Duke faculty subdivision for a long time, really until recently. So my house was built in 1965. I think there are some houses that were built a little bit earlier, like in the late 50s. And I don't know, like, I mean, there's some new houses that have been built recently where someone's subdivided a lot, and that makes people really mad. You hear about it on the listserv. Because, you know, and there's this, somebody sold off a lot, two lots, and two houses have been built. And one is a really cool looking house, and one is hideous and doesn't really fit with this neighborhood, although the neighborhood, the variations include architectural variations. This house that we live in is pretty traditional, but there are a lot of modern houses, and every year there's a modernist tour where people come through the neighborhood and look at these houses that are, you know, very Frank Lloyd Wright and his apostles and disciples. They're very under that influence. So, but the other thing is that it's a fairly wooded neighborhood. And as a result, a lot of people who garden right on the street, because that's the only part of their yard that gets sunlight. And so you have some gardens that are quite, not formal, but are landscaped, and where they have crews that come in, and not just to blow leaves and rake, but to plant and to cultivate and to make it beautiful. My neighbor Kathy has a great garden that was planted by these young sort of environmentalists, and it's got all kinds of native plants and a grapevine and herbs, and it is cultivated, and you can see that it is, but it has a very kind of wild, lush look to it as well. My neighbors on the corner at the end of my street, Amy and Anthony, grow a year-round massive vegetable garden, which I love. But right now, a lot of the front yard gardens, particularly the ones where people are a little more laissez-faire about them, are not looking too great. They're looking a little beat up because we've not gotten a lot of rain. But the good thing about not getting the rain, that's right, not much humidity. What does this have to do with quilting? Nothing. It's just my life, and my life has to do with quilting and how much I hate the weather, or am tolerating the weather, or being totally unaffected by the weather, which of course is 100% of the time. I'm actually taking a break. I'm working on sit-in, and I'm getting there. I have been doing some re-quilting, and I need to be careful because you can get to this point with re-quilting, particularly if you're using, if your quilt is constructed of solid fabrics, where you can start accumulating some wear and tear. And just a little bit of a look of, wow, this is, looks a little beat up at this point. I haven't gotten there yet, but I want to be careful. Last episode, I talked about how there are some places where it gets a little humpy. And I heard from a couple people. I've gotten some good comments about, yes, use the walking foot. And I got a lovely comment from my girl, Krista Watson, giving me all kinds of hints for how to make things less humpy, including just stretching the fabric, keeping it very stretched out while I quilt, and that seems to work. There are a couple of places where it's going to be very hard to make it as smooth as I want because the top of the lower chair is just so close to the bottom of the upper chair. But that's okay because, you know, once it's washed and dried or hosed down, which is still my vision for what I'm going to do, is just hose it down and put it in the dryer, there'll be some puffiness anyway. But there are places where it's unacceptable. There are other places where it's tolerable. But, you know, I've worked very hard on this quilt, and, you know, I still feel like the odds of it somehow getting ruined before it's all over just increase with the, you know, every day longer that I spend on it. But I'm enjoying myself, and, you know, it was a learning experience. I'm not sure why I didn't think I needed to use the walking foot for this, other than I feel like because I really was looking at each rectangle as a discrete unit, but it's not actually. I mean, it is and it isn't. So I think that the walking foot, not using it from the beginning, was a mistake, but also not understanding how the quilting would play out. You know, sometimes it's sort of like with the wing quilt, with the, doing the spirals and not really having that, not understanding that it wasn't going to lay flat, because I've done one other spiral quilted quilt, the Meeting of the Geese. And I don't think there wasn't an issue. Flatness was not an issue. So I didn't realize with this quilt it was going to be an issue with the wing quilt that it would be. But, you know, I did overlapping spirals, very tightly quilted. So now I know. And that's, you know, I've been quilting for almost 10 years now. In the fall it'll be 10 years. And I've gotten better. But I still feel that I'm learning, and particularly with the machine quilting, because I'm not putting the time in to really learn how to do it right, even though I have Craftsy classes from Krista and Jackie Gehring, and I just need to sit down and take them like classes. And I have learned both from those classes, I should say. So it's just me not being disciplined. And I think also it's me not having faith that I will ever really master it. Does that make sense? Just going, you know what? I am so imperfect that that's just got to be part of my style. You know, that the imperfections are just, you know, well, are just, let me finish a sentence. I don't know if I can. There's no getting around them. Oh, here comes someone behind. Okay, you don't know this, but as I was talking, Jack just came out the front door, which is actually really weird. I think he was just looking for me to tell me he's going out for ice cream with his friends, which explains the car playing the loud music down at the bottom of our driveway. And I'm never going to be able to remember what I was just saying, something about my imperfections never being perfected, which no one's imperfections are ever perfected, but I feel in some ways so left-handed and clumsy. Sometimes it's really frustrating, and I feel sad about it, because sometimes I feel like I try very hard, and I still am not able to achieve the level of mastery. But then I was just telling you I don't have the discipline to learn, so take those two contradictory statements and do something with them. All right, back to the quilting. So that's what I'm doing. And it's one of those projects. It's big. There are over 100 chairs. I'm redoing stuff because I do want to be happy with it. I think I have a good gauge of what I will be happy with and what I won't be happy with. And it's worth it to me to unquilt and requilt. And you know, it just is in the places that I know will make me unhappy for a long time. And I think we all, it's an interesting thing to think about, because on the one hand, like, you know, you can get so, especially when you're machine quilting your quilt and you can be very obsessed with your mistakes, and then you finish and then you never notice them again and no one else notices them. Right, so there's that side of it, right? But the other side is, if you're me, and maybe if you're you, there are times you don't correct mistakes and you regret it, right? You always notice them. And you're always like, I should have taken the time to repair that, correct it, do it over, requilt it, whatever, because it mars the experience of the quilt for me. So I'm trying to find a healthy balance though, right? And you do have to remember that, I mean, there's a lot of stuff you won't ever notice again. So to have a good sense of looking at it and going, yeah, that's not going to bug me later, and have a good sense of stuff that will bug you later. So that's where I am, and I'm trying to do a lot of neck and shoulder stretches because my neck and shoulders are very tight. Now, tomorrow we are going to Kentucky to see my parents. My brothers will be there and their families, which is very nice. We do this every summer, and it's about 48 hours. We're all in town. We should show up at everyone's there about lunchtime on Friday and leaves lunchtime on Sunday. So we will probably, because we have actually, unfortunately, a very busy Monday, are probably going to leave first thing Sunday morning and say our goodbye. So it's not a really long visit, but it's enough, you know, because we're just hanging out. And I know there are people who gather together for a week at the beach, and who knows, maybe that's what we'll do next year, except I don't think my dad really likes the beach. We'll do something, but this will be the last summer where we gather at my parents' house for this weekend, because they, at the beginning of next year, are moving into a retirement community, and it will not be large enough to gather the tribe. So we'll have to figure out, I think, get a group of cabins in the mountains or something. I don't know. It's also going to be more difficult as the children continue to age. So my niece Elizabeth will graduate from college in the spring, and you know, it's going to be harder. But it'll be a nice visit. I'm looking forward to seeing what's on my mom's design wall. She's always got something going on. She is trying, because they are moving, she is trying not to accumulate more quilting things. So she told me when I talked to her on the phone the other day, many years ago, I mean, it's really, I could look it up, but it's got to be 6 or 7 years ago, we decided to do a block of the month thing together called, I think it's like my grandmother's garden, a sampler quilt, and neither of us ever finished, and she is finishing it up. She is just determined she's going to finish that quilt. I'm committed to eventually finishing everything I've ever started. I'm not really that committed, but I could see finishing that. That might be a really fun project to return to, because it has been so long, and who knows, maybe I have acquired some skills since then, and that would be kind of interesting to see. So, but I am looking forward. I always like to see what my mom's working on. She makes such pretty quilts. And when I get back, who knows? I'd love to have this quilt, the sit-in quilt, finished by the end of August. You would think that that's doable, and it may be. But the next 2 weeks when we get back are going to be pretty busy, because we've just doing back-to-school stuff for Will and sending Jack off to college. I read a great piece in the New York Times yesterday, though, about, you know, sending your child to college for the first year and how people always buy way too much stuff. I think we're going to send Jack with some pillows, some towels, some sheets. I think that's it. Some pencils. He's got a laptop. I'm sure he'll want to take that. And he does have a roommate. Whose roommate's name is John. And they probably need to confer if they want to get a fridge or microwave. Why would you have a microwave? Don't they have microwaves? Don't they have kitchens and dorms? I don't know. Just in this day and age, kind of feel like, one, we live 2 hours away, so we could always, like, if Jack needed something very badly that somehow could not be purchased for him on Amazon Prime. And is there anything that cannot be purchased on Amazon Prime? Now that, you know, Jeff Bezos is now the richest man in the world. And everything can be purchased on Amazon Prime. I'm pretty sure in about 5 or 10 years, you won't be able to purchase anything from any place else. So, anyway. So, my feeling is, like, why don't we get him off to college? You know, we'll send him with a toothbrush, I promise, and a blow dryer. He'll think of that because, you know, his hair, it's a thing. Yeah, and then we can just ship stuff in. So, I don't know. We'll see. We may start panicking at the last minute. And spend 24 hours in Bed Bath and Beyond, but The child does not need an iron. That much I know. So that is my quilty update. Just kind of doing the same thing, doing some shoulder rotations. I'm enjoying it. That's the thing. I mean, you're always kind of, particularly at this point in the process, where one, you're just kind of doing the same thing over and over again, and you know what's going to be the hardest part is filling in the ghost chairs with their little lines to indicate the backs and the, I don't know, whatever. You know what I mean? Think of a, look at the, you'll see, whatever, there's pictures. But that is going to be some pain in the butt quilting. Just, it's going to be like, for the back of the chair, two squares, and then for the bottom of the chair, I think two squares. Maybe I'll just make that one square. We'll see. But it needs more than just the outline of the chair. It really does need some inner definition. But that's going to be a huge pain in the butt. Fortunately, I keep reminding myself there's only going to be about 20 ghost chairs, I think. I think that's probably what it'll end up being. But that's the thing when I'm like, if I start getting a touch of a headache and I want to have even more of a headache, I just think about doing that. Filling in the ghost chairs, baby. Yeah, so I think that's what I have to tell you. I just got a new book out of the library, and it's by, and now I can't think of her name. She is an Indian writer. It's her new book. She wrote The God of Small Things. And I think her last name is Roy. It might be like Arunde Roy. And I can't even think of the name of this book. So I am totally useless to you. But the next time we speak, I will have started it. It's gotten some good reviews. It got mixed reviews from the New York Times. But the Times can be sometimes a little stuffy about things. So I'm hoping that I'm going to enjoy it. And I read the first couple pages, and it looks pretty good. So that's going to be my book to take on the trip. So fingers crossed that it will be marvelous and get me through some hotel nights. Hate hotels, although I have to say I'd rather be in a hotel with my family than by myself. I was thinking about that today. I find hotels really depressing, and I always have. I've always found them very lonely. And there was a period of time, I don't do as many school visits now where I'm traveling and doing like staying in a hotel for several days. And I really did not like doing that. And I have a friend who's like, oh, that sounds like heaven. And a lot of mom friends of mine, because this is, you know, when the boys were a little bit younger. And it is nice on the one hand, not, you know, kind of being relieved from duty, you know, from your chores and stuff. But I just always found it lonely. And then with my family, it's not lonely, but it's still a hotel. It's still kind of depressing. So, I think I'm rambling at this point, so I will stop. But I will be back when we get back from Kentucky. And I hope to have wonderful things to tell you. Particularly that I've made lots and lots of progress on sit-in. And I just thought today, you know, I'm going to finish quilting it, and then I'm going to have to bind it. I don't even know how big this quilt is. Someone asked me, I posted something on Instagram, not of sit-in, but just that messing around, like doing some flying geese units just to mess around with them. And I said, I was taking a break from quilting the biggest quilt in the world. And someone said, well, how big is it? I'm like, it is as big as a swimming pool. It's as wide as the sky. It's starting to feel that way, but big quilts. I said this was going to be the year of the big quilt. I may have one big quilt at the very least. I'll tell you more about it next time. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Friday, August 25th. Life is settling back down after the big transition, that transition being taking Jack to college. Everyone asked me, did I cry? I did not. I did not particularly expect to cry. I felt some free-floating sadness in the weeks before. But here's how Davidson College handles parents. They spend 2 days exhausting parents so much that by the time it's time to go home, you're just ready. You don't even care. You have no feelings left. You are numb. Okay, it wasn't quite that bad. But we took Jack down last Thursday. We got there around 10:00. Jack and the man had actually already been there the night before. Davidson's just 2 hours from where we live, and the man thinks nothing of driving any length. If it, you know, under 6 hours, it's like, oh yeah, I'll go there and I'll come back. He also spent a lot of time last summer when his mother was sick driving to Charlotte. Davidson is very close to Charlotte. He drove back and forth in a day all the time. So he just doesn't give it much thought. So Wednesday night, he and Jack drove down and moved his stuff into his room and then came back. And then we got up early Thursday morning and drove back yet again. And this time the festivities began, and Jack got all his cards and his meal tickets and all those things that you have to do. We met Jack's roommate. Have to say, seems like a pretty good match. We'll find out more. These things you can't really tell, but you know, these days they have you fill out lengthy forms for roommate selection where you just put down your every habit, your every preference. And so Jack's roommate John is he's a gamer. He has a sense of humor that I would describe as dry and absurdist. I have no doubt he's a huge Monty Python fan, as is Jack, although Jack's sense of humor, the way is a little bit more, Jack is more witty and wry, but the two go together, wry and dry, witty and absurdist. They all work together. So John seems like a nice guy. More importantly, John's mom is great. We totally bonded. They actually live in Raleigh, John's family does, so we're getting together in the upcoming weeks to hang out. we really had a good time. She's very funny and kind of artsy, and also happens to do a lot of work with the children's department in Quail Ridge Books in Raleigh, setting up school visits. So it's just kind of very interesting, the many things we had in common. Jack's dorm room is a dorm room. They don't seem to change much over the years, except when I went to college at Wake Forest, also in North Carolina, didn't have air conditioning. Now dorm rooms seem to come with air conditioning. Anyway, it's a beautiful campus, Davidson. I mean, gorgeous, gorgeous. And the big emphasis on all the talks we went to is nobody gets lost here at Davidson. You know, it's a really small school. It's a college, so it's only undergraduates, 2,000 students. And there was just, yeah, it's like, don't worry. And apparently, if you don't go to class, your professor emails you and says, where were you? There are none of these big, huge lecture classes. To me, it felt a little, like a little much. And it'll be interesting to see how Jack responds to that. It's also will be interesting to see how much of that is actually the case. I mean, I believe professors email students. I think it's part of the culture there is you go to class, you don't miss class. But I hope that they're like not cameras embedded all over the campus. I hope the eyes are a little bit more metaphorical eyes. You know, I went to Wake Forest, as I said, which was a smaller school. I can't remember how many undergraduates, let's say 8,000. And I kind of wish I'd gone to a bigger school for that very reason. A lot of eyes on a small campus. And as an introvert, you would think small would be better, but actually no. I think big might have been better. In fact, I went to a huge school for grad school. I went to UMass Amherst, and I loved it. You know, it's like, I think it was like 40,000 people, undergraduate and grad, 30,000. I mean, huge. I thought that was absolutely great. So anyway, Jack seems to be enjoying himself, enjoying his classes. I've felt for a long time that Jack would just have a great time at college. And here's fingers crossed that he will. So that's been very much, you know, the last couple of weeks, getting Jack ready to go, getting him gone, and coming home completely wiped out. Also, after some beautiful weather, you know, I don't care about weather. I don't complain about the weather, but sometimes I notice it. I notice it when in early August, it's 80 degrees and like 40% humidity. That's unheard of here in North Carolina. It was a beautiful respite. That all changed about the time we took Jack down to Davidson. It was 95 and like 80% humidity. That's one of the reasons it was really exhausting. We were trekking a lot back and forth across campus, and it was really, really hot. Not that I care. Not that it means anything to me. But now we're back home. Will has started high school. He started on Tuesday. He has earned this weekend that is coming up. He is playing soccer. He has practice every day till 5:20. He comes home, he eats, and then he goes upstairs to do his homework. You know, it's the back-to-school fervor that he's taken school really seriously. And it's not that he hasn't taken school seriously before, but he seems really motivated. He seems like his teachers. Fine. She's fine. He's fine. Loves his biology teacher, who Jack also had, and is like a super great guy. Exactly the right kind of guy for Will. Kind of, you know, is into sports, into physical fitness, but was also in the Peace Corps, you know, and is also has a philosophical side. So that's exciting, because he had a crap science teacher last year. So we're very excited for him. But I feel like he's got a soccer game this afternoon. I feel like he'll come home, he'll eat, and he will sleep for the next 24 hours. How about me? What about quilting? Is that your question? Once again, is this or is this not a quilting podcast? It is. But you know, I need to get a little chatter out of the way, because it's all one part of one big bundle of life, isn't it? It's all connected. Quilting, living, educating our children, making dinner. Yeah, all of that. Travis is looking at me like, shut up. Just say something. Okay, I will. I am quilting. I didn't quilt for a while. I have been a little bit under the weather. I've just got a little bit of a bug. I tend to get bugs and they hang on longer than I think they should. And this one is fine. It's not like I'm really sick. I just kind of feel tired and my stomach's kind of upset. And hopefully I'm at the tail end of it. Fingers crossed. But I once I got Will back to school, I've been trying to work. I'm trying to actually get into a 9-to-5 work day. Which, you know, for years and years, having kids whose days ended between 2 and 3, you know, my work day was kind of over by 1. And starting last year, that shifted a bit, particularly when Will played soccer in the fall and baseball in the spring. And so it shifted a little bit to a little bit later in the afternoon. But right now, it's like I drop off Will a little before 8, and then unless he's got a game that I'm going to go to, you know, I don't see him again until 5:20. And so I would like to extend my work day and really make more use of my afternoons. And I've got a lot of projects going on. Obviously, quilting projects, but also quilting books. So here's the news in terms of quilting books. I'm going to put out a collection of short stories, some of which you may have read on the Quilt Fiction website. Or if you signed up for my newsletter, which I'm quite delinquent on, next newsletter next week. But there will be new stories as well. And we'll probably take down the stories from the Quilt Fiction site. But the man and I haven't really discussed that. Anyway, I think the plan is to have this collection out at some point in October. And then the sequel to Birds in the Air, Stars Upon Stars, I hope will be out in the spring. I'm almost done with the draft. I had the man go over it. There's a mystery at its heart, and I needed him to really read through the mystery. And he has a lot of suggestions, so I need to get back to that and finish a draft. I'm really hoping that it will be out by mid to late March. I will keep you updated on that. I've got other writing projects going on, working on a new Sam the Man book, working on just about to start a revision of a book called The Class, which has 20 different characters in it. The story is told from 20 different points of view, so it's been a really interesting project. I've loved doing it, but it's complicated, so I'm about to work on a revision of that. As for quilts. Hi, this is Frances interrupting myself from this morning. I'm about to talk a lot about sit-in, and I'm about to say a lot of things that I just said in the earlier quilt diary, but there's been almost 3 weeks, is that possible, between that quilt diary and this quilt diary. And so much has happened in that 3 weeks. We went to Kentucky, had a great trip, so good to see everybody. I was sad because one of my nieces was sick and she and her mom didn't come, so that felt like a loss. But otherwise, really nice time. Came back and started getting Jack ready to go. Got Jack gone. Recovered from taking Jack. Got Will off to school, etc., etc., etc. It's been a busy time. So coming back to sit in, as I have just in the last few days, the same thoughts have arisen, and I'm back to the quilting. So I'm going to tell you a lot of stuff, including the whole thing about my imperfectionism and accepting that. I go over that all one more time again, because it's obviously on my mind. I'm thinking about it as I am not just involved with this quilt, but embroiled in it. It's what's on my mind. I just forgot that I told you last time that was on my mind. And I thought about editing it out, but I thought maybe you're, you know, cleaning the tub or doing your own quilting as you're listening to this and only really half tuned in and just like the sound of my voice in the background, or, you know, maybe you're just used to me repeating myself. So I'm going to leave it as it is. But I did want to pop in and say, yeah, okay. The other thing is I just listened to the last quilt diary where I said there were like 20 chairs. It's a lot closer to 40. And I'm thinking about, there is an expanse of fabric. I'm going to say top and bottom, quote unquote, borders. It's the same white fabric as the background fabric. Top and bottom, let's call it 8 inches. Long and 56 inches wide, or 60 inches. I don't know how big this quilt is. It, you know, as I've mentioned, big as the world, quite frankly. Anyway, and I've actually thought about doing smaller chairs up there, ghost chairs, on the top and the bottom. I might, I don't know. So the idea that there's just 20 chairs to deal with, ghost chairs to deal with, is ludicrous. It's just nuts. I don't know how I came up with that figure. Anyway, I just thought I would say that. And now on with the quilt diary. I am still working on sit-in, aka the chair quilt. And what I'm working on is the quilting. I have quilted all the chairs, and I have quilted the outlines for what I'm calling the ghost chairs. That is kind of how this quilt is going to be quilted, with just echo quilting around each of the chairs and then ghost chairs. And the issue for me with the ghost chairs, easy enough to machine quilt the outline, but the chairs have the innards, the innards of the chairs. So a chair back has two squares in it to indicate the negative space, right? And then you've got the chair legs. All of those need to be outlined. And I did one. I'm trying to think of, I don't remember if I free motion quilted it or used the walking foot, but I did one and it looks good, but it's very, very time consuming. And because there are several different parts, it's a lot of threads to bury. So I thought, well, what if I try, you know, even earlier, I thought, well, maybe I'll just hand quilt the innards. I like saying that. It's not actually in any way factual. It doesn't really describe what it is. But you know what I'm talking about. What if I just hand quilt the negative space and the legs? And I tried it, and it didn't work. And I couldn't figure out why. There wasn't enough tension in the stitches. I used the same thread that I'm using to machine quilt, the Aurifil 50 weight white thread, and it wasn't happening. So I thought, well, I'm just going to have to do that. I'm going to have to machine quilt them, and it's going to be a huge, huge pain in the tuchus. Then the other day, I had this idea. It's like, why not use an embroidery hoop to give a little bit more tension to the fabric and use a slightly heavier thread to quilt the insides, the innards. And I tried that. And I, so what I embroidery hoops are incredibly cheap, but partly, you know, the wooden ones are made out of, you know, scrap wood and spit. And their price reflects it. They cost like $2. I got one that's, I'm trying to think, I think it is an 8-inch, and then I got a 10-inch plastic one. Somewhere in this house, I actually have a quilting hoop, like a 14-inch quilting hoop. I can't find it. And quilting hoops are made of sturdier stuff, and they're expensive. You know, that, I'm sure that costs like $25. So I picked up the 10-inch and the 8-inch, and with my coupons, I think I spent like 25 cents, maybe a little bit more. And the 8-inch works really well. And so it makes the fabric a bit more taut, which makes it easier to handle. And then I got this hand quilting cotton, kind of snow white from Coates. And it matches the machine quilting, the Aurifil that I've used for machine quilting. It's a good match. I don't think you would look at it and go, oh, those are different threads. And I can't, I don't, I, you know, I'm looking on the little bob, I don't see what the weight is, right? I can't, but it seems to have some sort of coating. Now, I realize as I'm doing this, this is something I may regret bitterly later, you know, that something's going to happen that I didn't foresee. But right now, it looks good. And you know, my friend Kristen said something about, you know, this quilt has a somewhat of a rustic look to it to begin with because of the chairs themselves. Because, you know, even the quilting around the chairs, the echo quilting, it's not a haphazard would be much too loose of a term. But it's not cookie cutter. Each one is a little bit different. It's why don't we call it snowflake quilting? Each one's just a touch different, has its own personality. And so this has a bit of a rustic. I'm not doing perfect even stitches. I'm trying to, but that is absolutely beyond my capabilities as a human being. So I'm just, you know, and that's been what I've been thinking about with this quilt. Thinking about it a lot. By the way, it's been a couple weeks since I recorded the first diary. I have no idea what I said. Absolutely zero. This I could actually, with the exception of telling you about dropping off Jack to college, which happened after I recorded that, I could be telling, and I did just get the hoops. So that's new too. But other things I may say, you'd be like, Frances, you just said that. I'm like, yeah, that's great. No idea what I said. Absolutely none. Anyway, but, you know, I've been thinking about that, and this, you know, gets to the larger issue, of course, is the quilt police and perfectionism, and that, was it Thomas Knauer's interview with Abby Glassenberg that was so interesting, where he felt like perfectionism is really just the quilting industry's way of making you buy more tools. If you haven't listened to that, it's really fun to listen to. I don't know that I agree with him, and I know I've talked about it before. But it's a really interesting and fun listen. Anyway, so I have been thinking, one is like, yeah, this isn't perfect, and there's only one place. This makes me crazy, but there is, you know, this quilt is a collection of rectangles of, let's call it 9x5 rectangles, right? And there's one spot where for some reason I did not get a 1/4-inch seam. There's one 5-inch line where there's some separation, and I'm not sure how to fix that. It's too late to go back in, and I can't repair it, the seam itself. So, but I do want to correct it. And there's some zigzag, you know, all the chairs are zigzag sewn, zigzag stitched onto the background. And there's some places where the zigzag wasn't actually, didn't quite make the fabric, or you can't quite see it. And I may go back and do that, even though it's going to look funny on the back. But, you know, I do care about how the quilt looks, and I want it to look good. But I don't mind it having a rustic look. And I don't mind that the ghost chair quilting, the innards quilting, the stitches are not perfectly even. They're my stitches. If there's anything egregious that I don't like that makes me unhappy, I'll change it. But I think it's okay to say, yeah, there are ways in which I am a perfectionist or have perfectionist tendencies, But this will look like a Francis-style quilt, and for better or for worse. And I like the way it looks, and I'm really excited to finish it, not just to be done with it. I'm enjoying the process, and that is the other thing. And I think I talked about this last time in terms of, it's like I do want to get it finished because there are other quilts I want to make, but at the same time, I'm enjoying the process, and no one's waiting for it. No one's saying, when will Frances post a picture of this on Instagram? When will it get done? Will she finish it in time to submit it to QuiltCon? Which I better, not because of QuiltCon, but just because that's like, I really would like to be done with this in less than 3 months, right? I think the deadline is 3 months away. No one's asking those questions. So this is just me and my quilt, right? And that's all it needs to be. I do want to submit it to QuiltCon. I'm not saying that I don't, but if I don't, it's not a loss to the world. It's not a loss to me. My main goal with this quilt is to finish it without spilling red wine on it, or without defacing it in any possible way. And that, of course, is the fear. You know, even putting on these embroidery hoops. I think I got them Wednesday. I thought, what if I just tear a huge hole in the quilt or something. You know, it's like that's scary. That is the scary thing, I think, about investing a ton of time in a project, and particularly a project like a quilt, where you could do something to totally mess it up. It's still a quilt, it's still usable, but you know, it's also an art project. So that is a little bit scary. Every minute more that I invest in the quilt is a minute of heartbreak. Should I spill wine? I'm not bringing wine anywhere close to this quilt. I'm being very careful because I understand how absolutely messy I am. Anyway, so those are things that I'm pondering as I work on this. And it's going to take a little while to finish these ghost chairs. I think it's going to take a couple weeks to do it. The more I do, the more efficient I am at doing this, what is essentially, by the way, I'm not really hand quilting, I'm embroidering. I'm not rocking stitches or anything. I'm doing it a stitch at a time, and that's fine. I like the way that looks. So I guess I could try rocking. I know, I'm happy. I'm happy doing what I'm doing, and it's not a race. So there you have it. Well, I have some desire to get this posted today. Before I forget, I do want to say, yay, Gretchen, who's a longtime listener and friend, won the giveaway, won the podcast-iversary giveaway, so yay. And thank you, everyone who left a comment. So I wanted to say that. What else do I have to say to you? Oh, but here's the exciting thing. So we've got Jack's room, empty, unused. And we're going to set up a recording studio this weekend. We're going to start setting it up. And my first project is to start recording Friendship Album 1933, which is actually an unfinished novel that I will need to finish. I'm going to be like Dickens here, right? Every week writing a new section. No, I've got like 130 pages. So I think I can put out a bunch of episodes and not worry too much about that, but it's a neat idea. It will be like reading a draft to some extent. But the idea is to put it out as a podcast and see how that works, see what people think. So I'm excited to do that. I'll keep you up to date about when I start airing that. Yeah, but I hope not too long. And I like the idea of doing that. And then if there are other things I have to read, you know, just kind of make it a quilt fiction podcast maybe. I don't know what I'm going to call it. But I do like the idea of doing kind of a serialized book podcast. And, reading a chapter or two a week, posting a chapter or two a week. And so if you have thoughts on that, let me know. If you think, well, maybe you should do 3 chapters a week. I can't do too many chapters a week because I do have to write like about 100 more pages of the book. But I do like this book. It's fun. And again, it's historical fiction. So it's been a few years since I started it. And It's so fun to do the research, you know, obviously set in 1933. So I'm excited about that. I'm really excited about doing that. So I'll keep you up to date, but I just wanted to let you know. I want to say thank you to everyone who commented on the last episode. And I'm actually going to walk inside, so you're going to hear it. So we've been out on the porch, so you can hear all the crazy bugs, who I think are just starting to get the idea that it might, fall might be coming. I know, it's August 25th, fall's like way far away. Although it's going to, don't care about the weather. Weather does not affect me whatsoever. And yet, here we are coming to my laptop. This next week is going to be in the low 80s. Isn't that fabulous? So I want to say thank you to everyone who commented on episode 212 and 211. It's Quilt and Jenny and Andra, Krista and Charlotte. And thank you both to Krista Watson and Charlotte Scott, the slightly mad quilt lady, who gave me really good feedback on my humpy bumpy problems with the chair quilt. Thanks to Vicky, Margaret K, Melissa G, Patty, and Valerie. And now we're getting back into 210, and that was the podcast anniversary. And thank you for your many, many wonderful comments. I appreciate them all. I appreciate you listening. I hope you'll keep listening. I will do my best to be a better, more responsible podcaster and to have more quilting news to bring you as we go along, as I get organized. It is back to school time, my favorite time of the year. It is the time where I get organized and my life, well, start seeming possible. It's always possible. I don't even know what that means. But you know, it's like it's the new year. Let's face it. Labor Day is New Year's Eve, as far as I'm concerned. So here we go into the new year. I hope we have a good time. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.